Today's shiur in the Daf Yomi is the Gemara in Pesachim Daf Pei Hei. We're already almost halfway down the Daf, starting with the words Tnan Hosom, which is next to the Tosos Mishum Chashtei Kahuna. We are learning today Li'ili Nishmas David Katowitz, David Ben Levi. I'm assuming this is a relative of Harry Katowitz, one of the regulars of our shiur, as well as we're learning Li'ili Nishmas Florence Jacobs, Freda Devorah Bas Elio, Elliot Platt's mother-in-law. All of the Nishamas we learn for should have an Aliyah. So we begin, again, about halfway down, Pei Hei, Omud Aleph, with the words Tnan Hosom, again, parallel to the Tosos Mishum Chashtei Kahuna. So Tnan Hosom, we're going to learn later in the Masechta, Narvei Pesachim, where it says, HaPigul V'HaNosar. Now we delete the words V'HaTomei, because Tomei, of course, is Matam Mesiyadayim, so it's inappropriate. Just Pigul, Nosar, and Tomei always go together, so that's why Mistama, the printer, put it in here by accident. So we're dealing with Pigul and Nosar. Pigul, again, is a coin, has an improper machshava doing certain parts of the avoda that he's going to eat it chutz l'zman or do something chutz l'zman outside the proper time. So this turns the carbon into pigul as long as everything else was done correctly. And in this situation, if a person would eat rachmana l'slana kizayis of this intentionally, b'chayiv koris. So pigul is a very strict and severe issa d'araisa. And nosar, likewise, beyond the time that the carbon is supposed to be eaten, after that it becomes nosar. Also, if you eat a kizayis of nosar intentionally, you chayiv koris. So these two strict isurim, the rabbis gave additional chizuk to them, if you wish, because they were concerned, as we'll see, because that maybe the Kohen is going to do something improperly on purpose. So the Pigel and Nosar, Metamim Esayadayim, they have the capability, Midrabanan, to also be Metame, the hands of the Kohen who comes into contact with this Basar that has been made Pigel or Nosar. The reason behind this is as follows. Rav Huna and Rav Chista, they each had a reason as to why this was done. We're not sure which one said which. One of them said, Chadamam ibn Chashtei Kahuna, the Chadamam ibn Atzlei Kahuna. One said because of the concern that the Kohanim were going to do something improper, or the other said the Kohanim were going to be lazy. We'll explain what this means right now as we go further in the Gemara. Mar Masnei HaPigul, one of them said that this is going on Pigul. Either the Chashtei Kahuna or the Atzlei Kahuna was referring to the Pigul, and the other one was referring, well, Mar Masnei HaNosar was referring to the Nosar. What are these two things, Chashtei Kahuna and Atzlei Kahuna, that we're concerned about? So Man de Masnei HaPigul, the one who said that it's going on Pigul, that's the reason for the Din de Rabbanan here, was because of Pigul, he said Mishum Chashtei Kahuna, and the one who said, Man de Masnei HaNosar, the one that said it's going on Nosar, was because of Mishum Atzlei Kahuna, because of the concern of the lasers of Kohen. Again, what exactly are we talking about? We'll see in a moment. Mar Masnei Kizayis and Umar Masnei Kibetza. Depending on which shita they said, one said it was dealing only if you had a Kizayis' worth of the Pigel or the Nosar that was going to trigger this Issa D'Rabbanan, and the other one said, no, you need to have a Kibetza's worth in order to trigger this. And finally, Mando Amar Kizayis Ki Isuro, Mando Masnei Kibetza Ki Tumoso. And the one that said that it's dealing over here with a Kizayis, that's because the Isser of eating Nosar or Pigel is based upon if you eat a Kizayis, that is going to be Chayav Yukoris. And the other one said, no, since we're dealing over here with Tuma, so even though it's Tuma D'Rabbanan, we follow the pattern of Tuma D'Araisa, and this goes according to the Shita, that you can only transmit Tuma if you're dealing with something that has a Kibetza's worth. The Kibetza, again, is either two or three times a Kizayis, depending on the different shitos. So the rabbinical prohibition that was instituted over here was because of the concern that of transmitting tumah, so they used the shear of a kibetza. Now, what exactly is this Chashtei Kahuna or Chashtei Atzlei Kahuna? So Rashi explains that when you're dealing with Chashtei Kahuna, shechoshedin lefagel korban mishum eva. We're concerned over here that the Kohen is going to go and say, listen, I don't like this guy. This person who's bringing this cow for a shlomim, he's not a nice guy. I don't like him. Guess what? I'm going to be befagel this carbon and say, whoops, I'm sorry. I did it by accident. I thought this was, instead of it being 2 days and one night, I thought it was somehow the days were wrong and I had in mind that we needed tomorrow night. And therefore, he ruins it. He has an improper machshava during the avoda, and therefore, he is ruining this carbon, and the person is now going to have to bring another carbon if he had an obligation to bring this carbon, because this carbon isn't good. And therefore, Rashi says, Gozru ala pigul shiitame yaseyadayim. So in order to make sure that the Kohen doesn't do this totally incorrect, improper intentional act of being mafagel the other person's carbon. So they said, listen, we're going to pay a penalty for this, because when you're doing this, your hands are going to become tame. And therefore, Kadeshi has a tzorech lahat b'yodo kodem shiga b'kodesh v'yatrichu. There's like a penalty that's instituted over here, and as a result, the person, Kohanim, were very concerned about Tumah and Tara, more so than other things. Tosus points out that we see that they're concerned sometimes more about Tumah and Tara than even about murder or other things that somewhat on an objective level would say are much more bigger concerns. But somehow Tumah and Tara played such an important role in their lives that even though people sometimes are willing to do other Yisurim, but Tumah and Tara, no, we're not going to transgress that. So therefore, because we're concerned over here that the Kohen will do something intentionally to make a pigel and then claim afterwards, oh, it was unintentional, and for unintentional, you don't have to pay back the person any money. So even though you cause them a huge financial loss, you can get away with it. So therefore, Mishum Chash De Kahuna, the rabbis instituted this additional rabbinical prohibition of it becoming tameh. And again, if you're saying it's because of a pigel, so then it's because of the chash de kahuna. On the other hand, if it's nosar, so Rashi explains that nosar is a different issue. That's atzle kahuna. Hamis atzlem b'achilas kochim. People can be lazy. Yeah, I'll eat it later. I got plenty of time. I'll eat it later. I got plenty of time. All of a sudden, this man is over. So in order to be mizaris, in order to go get the kohanim, to go and eat it a little bit better, so therefore, they said, well, you know, you're going to pay a penalty if you are lazy, and that your hands are going to come tummy when you're touching this nosar. And therefore, the one who said that we're dealing over here with nosar said it was because of atzle kahuna. Now, back to the Gemara. Gemara asked the following shayla in the base medish. They asked in the base medish, Yotzei, what about the issur of Yotzei? It wasn't included over here in Pigel and Nosar in the Mishnah on Daf Kuchaf. So what about Yotzei? If it goes outside of Yushalayim, the carbon pasach goes outside the walls of Yushalayim, did the rabbis institute over there Gozer Rabbanan Tumah or lo? Did they also institute a rabbinical Tumah over there or not? Mi Amrina, do we say no, sir? Because of no, sir, the Gozer Tumah, because the Aslu Liat Zulebe were concerned by no, sir, that maybe the Kohan were going to be a little bit lazy, and therefore, to be Mizaris then, so we said, if you're going to create no, sir, by not finishing off the carbon in its proper time, so your hands are going to come to me if you touch it, so too, maybe they did the same thing for Yotze, because there's also concern that they'll not be careful, and it will go outside. So that's the question that the Gemara is asking. Me and Marina, do we say this or not? Do we say, no, sir, the Gozer Tumah? Do we say that no, sir, the rabbis did in fact Gozer Tumah, but the reason by no, sir, they were Gozer Tumah is the Osalei Tzulebe, because there's the potential for being lazy, that you're not going to rush to eat it, and therefore you'll be lazy. But that potential doesn't exist. Avo Yotzei, there is no potential. Afu ki b'yadayim, lo mavki la b'yadayim. And therefore, lo Gozer Bei Rabbanan Tumah. What potential for laziness is there for going outside? It's not a question of lazy or not. It's a question of it went out by accident, but it's not a question of laziness. So therefore, in regards to Yotzei, lo Gozer Bei Rabbanan Tumah, the rabbis never instituted such a Tumah. Or do we say no? They instituted it across the board. Anytime there's an Isser, they instituted Tumah. Odilma, Loshna. So just like they did it by Pigel, just like they did it by Nosar, they also did it by Yotze. That's the question they asked in the base Medrash. And we'll bring a Raya from the Mishnah. Now, we already had this Mishnah in yesterday's shir. We're going to have it later today. It's on Pehei Omud Beis. And the Mishnah there says, Toshma, Eivir Shiotso Miktsoso. We had the case. Part of the limb went outside the walls of Yishalayim of the Korban Pesach. So in this situation, that is Yotze. But it's connected to the meat, the rest of the carbon pesach that's still inside. So what do you do in this situation? You have to cut away the meat that was outside from the meat that was inside. But there's a bone there. You're not allowed to break the bone. So we said you cut it right along the point of demarcation where it went down to where it stayed inside. So you take the flesh that was outside, you cut down all the way down to the bone. You can't cut through the bone because it's carbon pesach. It's a mosish rubo. So what do? You then peel back the meat back to the prior joint, to the more proximal joint. So avish yotze miktsaso chotech ad shemagiliyat. So you cut down the meat at the point where it went out. So the meat to the left, so to say, is the meat that went out. The meat to the right is the meat that stayed inside. Then you peel back all the way the meat on the right, chotech ad shemagiliyat, until you get to the prior joint, the proximal joint, and then you cut through the joint. The joint has no bone there. You're allowed to cut through it. So you peel it back for kolev ad shemagiliyat perik v'chotech, and then you cut it off over there. And therefore, you now have the bone with the meat that was outside, that is all now discarded, that's burnt, and then you have the remainder of the animal with the meat that was peeled back, that was all inside, that can be eaten. Now, if you're telling me that there was a tumah here, so then we got a problem. The Amr's Gozer Bei Rabbanan Tumah, if you're telling me that there was a gzeira that the rabbis instituted on this meat, that it is tameh, So then, how does it help us over here that you cut it off? It touched it. So the meat that was tummy, that was yotze, touched the meat that was inside still and was not tummy, and it should have made it tummy. So therefore, how does it help us? Oh, from the fact that we see that it does help us, you see that the rabbis never will go there in this situation. Asked and answered, the rabbis will not go there. This tumas the rabbanon on yotze. Or it says, Lav Dafka. No, this is Tumas Asarim hi, and Tumas Asarim lo Metamia. The reason why it's not Metamia over here, because it was touching when it was all together. As soon as you cut through it, it's no longer touching. When it's touching, it was together. And this is called Tumas Asarim. This is Gemara Rashi says in Nida, where we say that the Tumah of a Beis Asarim, a hidden place, it's on the inside. It's not on the outside. So it's only touching, so to say, on the inside, where the meats were connected. So it's not touching on the outside. It's only touching where they're connected on the inside. That type of touching, this Beis Hasarim, doesn't transmit Tumah by Maga. And therefore, this is a Tumas Hasarim, and it doesn't transmit the Tumah. But in fact, the rabbis did make a Tumas, rabbinical Tumah on this meat that was Yotze. And now, if you in fact touch this meat that was Yotze to something else, it would be Mentamiyah. So you can't bring a Raya from the Mishnah on Pehei Omid Beis. Mor says, that's great if you hold like what we just said, that this Tumas Hasarim doesn't apply in this situation. There is, because the Tumas Hasarim is the only connection here, there is no Tumah, and therefore that's why the Yotze was not Matame, the stuff that stayed inside, and that's why there is no proof over here that it's not Tumah. Even if it was Tumah, it wouldn't be Matame because of Tumas Beis Hasarim. But Luravina, who holds the Omar, Chiburi Ochlin, La Chiburhu, Ukiman, the Mifrasei Dami, he says, no, that this connection over here between Ochlin is considered like his omed ligzos kigazus dami. It's going to be disconnected, so we view it halachically as if already disconnected. We consider it not as one big mechuber piece, but we view it as separate pieces. You have piece A that was yotze, and piece B that was not yotze. And therefore, piece A is touching piece B. It's not a tumas basis asarim according to Ravina, because it's going to be cut, so we view it as if it's cut right now. And therefore, it's command demifrase dami. It's as if it's already separated. And therefore, if it's already separated, now piece A, which is tummy, touches piece B, it should make it tummy. Oh, it must be, since that doesn't occur, that piece A isn't tummy. So therefore, according to Ravina, Michael Amemar, Hoko, Noga, Bihadode, become tummy. According to Ravina, if you're telling me that there goes there, the tumor on Yotze, then the piece that was Yotze should have been Metame, the piece that stayed behind, the piece that wasn't Yotze. Samor says, Taka, you're right. Ella, Leman, the Masnake, Zayis. So the reason why the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Beis isn't Metame, piece A to B, according to Ravina, is because, according to the opinion that we just brought down, there's two shiurim over here. One opinion said it's a Kizayis, one opinion said it's a Kibetza. So according to the opinion said it's a Kizayis, Laman, the Mastek Kizayis, the Lesbe Kizayis. We're dealing here that the piece that was Yotze was less than a Kizayis, and therefore there was no rabbinical Tumah that was attached to it. That's why the Mishnah on Pehei Amud Beis isn't Metame, piece A to piece B. The piece that was Yotze, which does have rabbinical Tumah, if it's a kezayis. But here it wasn't a kezayis. That's why piece A is not matami piece B, according to Ravina. If it had been a kezayis, it would have been matami it. And according to the opinion, the master kebetza, the less make kebetza. According to the opinion, said the shear that they instituted was only if it was the size of a kebetza, because that's how you transmit tumah. So then it wasn't the shear of a kebetza. And therefore, that's why on Pehei Amud Beis, according to Ravina, it's not matami. But if it had been more than a kebetza, it in fact would have been matami. Try again. Toshma. The following brisa could be a raya. Hamotze besar pesach mechabur lechabura. We're going to learn this din as well, that you're not allowed to go bring the carbon pesach from one chabura to another chabura, and we'll see that this is not allowed even from one room to another room. So here, you're not allowed to bring the carbon pesach from one group that's eating carbon pesach to another group that's eating carbon pesach, and the concern is that they may come to eat it, and you're only allowed to eat the carbon pesach in one group. So this is true. Now, this is a lo sase of bringing it from one chabura to another chabura, but you're not allowed to do this, but it's tar. But it is tar. The meat wasn't given a rabbinical tum over here. Now, my lav tar v'yasser, when you're telling me over here that the meat is tar, but you're not allowed to eat it, as Rashi points out, when it says tar, well, also it means lecho kisha yotze chutz l'mechitza, because it went yotze, the mechitza spesis mokum achilasuhi, so this carbon, Pesach, went from its chabura to another chabura, so it's like yotze. And we say that it is tar, and that it's not able to be metame. And when it says that it's also, it means you're not able to eat it. So the answer over here is that it's not metame. The rabbis did not give a rabbinical tumah to yotze. My lav tar, it's tar, it's not metame, it's also, and you're not allowed to eat it. The yotze mechabur lechabur ki yotze chutz mechitzasu dami. And nevertheless, umivsil, we see that it's possible, so we're really talking about a yotze, but nevertheless, avil hochik tani tar, but it doesn't have a rabbinical tumah. Therefore, what do we see? Amol ogaz rabbanon tumah. The rabbis did not, in fact, give a tumah to yotze. So let us bring a raya from the Korban Pesach that went from chavura to chabura. That's like yotze, and you're not allowed to eat it, so it's really possible. So this is a real isser over here, and yet it's not matame. So asked and answered again that the tumah of Yodayim was not given over here to yotze. We didn't institute a rabbinical tumah on yotze. Mara says again, lab dafka. Lo, when it said over here that it's tahar, it meant that it's tar umutter, that this is not a real din of yotze, and that it's actually able to be eaten. You're over a transgression, but it's not real yotze. We don't compare it to yotze chutz l'mechitzaso. The yotze mechabura l'chabura, lav ki yotze chutz l'mechitzaso dami. This is not the same level of isser as bringing it outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Granted, you shouldn't have brought it from one chabura to another chabura because they're concerned that you'll eat it then in two chaburas. But this is not the same type of psul as going outside the walls of Yerushalayim. Going outside the walls of Yerushalayim, it is an isser, and you've made it possible. And maybe the rabbis did institute in that situation a tumah midrabbanan. But when it went from one chabura to the other chabura, granted, you shouldn't have done that. But the bottom line is, it's still a kosher Korban Pesach. And that's why the rabbis never instituted a din of tumah over here, because it's still a kosher Korban Pesach. You're even allowed to eat it. The lo mifso, it didn't become tameh the same way it does when it's yotze chutz Yerushalayim. Where it says, but keep on reading. In this brisa, it says, "Vok toni sefer." It says, "Ha'ochlo hareze below sase." If in fact you do eat it, you're over lo sase. So this is a real disqualification. This is a real psul. This really is something that is like yotze chutz to the walls of Yerushalayim. So where it says, "Bishlom uleman domek beitza." Oh, so we could answer this up in a partial way by saying, according to the opinion, it says that they only instituted this if it was the size of a kebetza. This rabbinical tumah by Pigel and Osa was only instituted if it was the size of a kebetza. So in that situation, we could say it was less than a kebetza, but more than a kezias. Again, a betza is either two or three times the size of a kezias. So let's say you're dealing over here with a kezias. So it's something that you're going to be over a low sase, but it's not something that would be metami anything else because it was less than a kebetza. Because the rabbis never instituted this din of tumah if it was less than a kebetza. So the isser is there because it's a kezias, but the rabbinical prohibition that they added of tumah doesn't apply because it was less than a kebetza. So that works out great. Bishlam l'man d'yomar kebetza, the isbe kezias, less be kebetza. You have more than a kezias, but you have less than a kebetza. So therefore, there is no tumah over here, but it's aser. But according to man d'yomar, l'man d'yomar kezias, the one who says that they instituted this tumah of yotze, even for a kezias, they instituted by Nos from Pigel, and if they instituted over here by yotze, so the shear that they would have instituted for is a kezias, so then by definition, if you're over lo sase, you have to have eaten a kezias, so there must have been a kezias over here. So Michael and Amar, so then if the rabbis instituted a rabbinical tumah, then it should have been present, because you ate a kezias, you're over lo sase, so there should have been tumah over here as well. So Gemara says, you're right. Ela biyotze bepesach, lo meboilon, de lo gozer rabbanon tumah. So the bottom line is, you're right. The rabbis never instituted this rabbinical tumah in regards to yotze. Why not? My timer. Because b'nei chaburas reason hein umizar zihire be. Because the people of Korban Pesach, you have a lot of people there. It's like we say, the kohanim is reason hein. Kohanim are very zealous in the performance of mitzvahs. Plus, there's a whole bunch of kohanim there watching this rizus aspect, say, hey, you're doing something wrong, you're doing something wrong. So too, the Bnei Chabura, the Korban Pesach, they're all going to be zrizin. And therefore, if somebody were to start doing something of yotze, they say, hey, stop, you're going to make this piece of the Korban Pesach also if you bring it to the other Chabura. And therefore, the rabbis didn't feel the need to go and institute rabbinical tumah because zrizin hey. Ella, ki kama baila. But if there is a question, it's not dealing with the Korban Pesach, it's dealing with Yotze b'kodshim. The question would be asked in regards to other kodshim. Now, Korban Pesach is eaten b'chabura, but Korban Shlomim, the Balaam could eat it by themselves. There isn't necessarily no chabura there, so there's no concept of zrizin there, because there's not necessarily anybody else around. And therefore, in regards to Yotze b'kodshim, that's where the question was raised. Did the rabbis institute a tumah, just like they did by Nos from Pigel, on Yotze b'kodshim or not? Again, Kodshi Kalim were allowed to be eaten anywhere within Yerushalayim. So therefore, did the rabbis institute a tumah on this or not? My, and the Gemara doesn't come to a resolution, teiku. The Gemara says, we don't have an answer. Tishbi Yataritz, Kushav Ziyabars. Wait till the Yo comes, be'er Yemenu, and tell us the answer. Now the Gemara says, Umotzi b'sar Pesach, in regards to this din of Yotze, regarding the carbon Pesach, when you're taking it from one chabura to another chabura, that which we just discussed, and we turn to the Yom Beis, Pehe Yom Beis, the Gemara says, mechabura lechabura minayin. Where do we know that this issur of Yotze, going from one chabura to another chabura, is in fact usur? Where do we get it from? So the Gemara says, the Tanya said, based upon the following drasha of the Pasuk in the Braisa, the Pasuk tells us, lososi minabayis minabasa chutza. You're not letting go take out the basar of the Korban Pesach from the house. Now, when you're taking it out of the house, it's obviously going chutza. So Rashi points out, the word chutza is kro yiseiruhu. L'meila chutz l'chaburaso achiloso. And that's coming to teach us this din, which now the rest of the Braisa says. The word chutz is extra. And li'ala mi'bayis l'bayis. So that tells me you're not allowed to take it out from the house. Where do we know that you're not allowed to go mechabura lechabura minayin tamalom chutzah? The word chutzah was extra, because of course when you're taking it out of the house, you're taking it chutzah. So therefore it tells us, even if you don't take it out of the house, tamalom chutzah, chutz lachiloso. Even if you're just taking it away from the place that you're eating it. So the Korban Pesach was in room A, and now you're bringing it to room B with another Korban Pesach, or the same Korban Pesach, they divided it up into two groups. So then you're still not allowed to bring the same Korban Pesach from one group to another group, even if it's the same Korban Pesach. But since they divide it up, you're not allowed to mix the two Korbanos Pesach. Even though it's the same carbon pasuk, now that it makes the two chaburas, and this is dashing down from the X word chutzah in the pasuk. Now the Gemara says, "On Rav Ami further tells us, Hamosi b'sar pesach lechabur lechabura enu chayiv ashiya niach. The din of saying that we removed it from one chabura to another chabura is similar to Hilchos Shabbos, as we'll see. You have to have an akira and an anoch. You have to pick it up and you have to place it down. So you have to have picked it up from chabura A and put it down by chabura B in order to be over this iser. We just darshened out of chutzah, that you're not allowed to bring the carbon pesach from one chabura to another chabura, and you're over lo saseh if you in fact do so. So only chayiv, he says, Rav Ami, eino chayiv ad shia niach. And this is based upon the comparison to Hilchos Shabbos. Hotzok sibbe kishabbos. We have the word over here, lo sotzi. That's a hotzah. And just like hotzah by Shabbos requires an akira and a hanocha, ma Shabbos ad the avar akira v'anocha. You have to pick it up and put it down. You have to do the entire carrying from place A to place B, which involves picking it up in place A and placing it down in place B in order to be over carrying on Shabbos, either dalet amos or mirushus l'rishus. So to over here, the word lo sotzi tells us there's a similarity to the dinim of Shabbos, avochanami adav arakira v'anocha. This is what Rav Ami says. You need an akira and an anocha by Shabbos, and it says lo sotzi. You need an akira and an anocha over here by going from chabura l'chabura in order to be chayiv. Masa Rav Abba bar Mamo. Rav Abba bar Mamo is not happy with this, and he says we have a mishnah in Zvachim that tells us that the parman is srafim, and the siriman is srafim. The various korbanos that are brought, for example, Yom Kippur, the par and the sar Yom Kippur, Rashi says, or the par helam davar shel tzibor, or par koin moshiach. So these are called parim and isrofim. They're burnt not on the mizbeach. They're told only the blood is put on the mizbeach, on the inner mizbeach, and then the basa of these korbanos are taken outside the three machanos, outside Yerushalayim, and burnt in the beis hasreifa outside all three machanos. Now, based upon this mishnah in Zvachim, Rav Abba bar Mamo asks on Rav Ami the following. Are you sovlin osam bemotos? When they would carry these korbanos out after the zrika was done and after the avoda inside the heichal was completed, so none of this was put on the mizbeach, none of the basa was put on the mizbeach, and they would take it out. They would take it out from the machan de kahuna, they would take it out of the machan leviyah, and then they would take it out of the machan yisrael, and they would burn it outside Yerushalayim. In doing so, they carried it out on poles. So are you sovlin osam bemotos? They would take these animals out on poles. So the two front Kohanim carried them, and the two back Kohanim carried the other end. Now, as the front Kohanim left, Harishonim Yatsu Chutz L'Chomos Azara, as the front group of Kohanim left the Azara, the back group, Vachronim Lo Yatsu, the back group wasn't yet leaving. They were still in the Azara. So the din is that when you're going to carry out these Parman Esrafim, Sirun Esrafim, so they're Matame, not only the person who carries them, but they're also Matame, the clothes of the person who carries them, as soon as they leave the Azara. So Harishonim, Matame, and Begadim, as soon as they leave the Azara. Whereas the people, the Kohanim, that are carrying it behind them, they're still inside the Azara. Achronim, Ein Matame, and Begadim, not Tame, until they actually leave the Azara themselves. So you have somewhat of a paradox over here, that even though they're all four carrying the same animal, only the two in the front that have left the Azara are now Matame, the Begadim. The two that are behind aren't yet Matame, the Begadim. They're still in the Azara. Now, how come the two in the front are metame? If you're telling me that the din of Yotze is parallel to the din of Shabbos, and we say by Shabbos you need Akira and Anocha, so here there's no Anocha. So how come the people in the front, they didn't do Anocha, they're still moving, because the people in the back are continuously moving with them, so the people in the front that left the Azara, there's no Anocha, v'hol lo noch. So how come they're metame themselves and they're begodim? That's the question that Rav Abba Bar Mamel asks on Rav Ami Shita, based upon this Gemara in Zvachim. So as we find many times, we're interested in honesty over here. He had a question, but he himself answered it. Who, Moses? Rabbi Mamel asked the question, but he wasn't looking just to ask a good question and show everybody how smart he was. He was looking to find the answer, and he was able to find it himself. So therefore, he gave the answer himself. Who, Moses? Well, he asked it. Who, Mepharikla? And he gave the answer. He's talking here, Bigrorin. They didn't carry it out on the poles. It was too heavy, and they were dragging it out. Now, Lav Dafka dragging it out. Tosus points out that it's Lav Dafka, and Tosus Dibra Maslow Binigrorin. Omer Reed brings out the read, the Lav Dafka Nigrarin, Elisha Yutoch Gimulakarka, because of the principle of Lavud, even if you're not carrying it in the air, but if you're within three tzvachim of the ground, so then it's considered like it's on the ground because of the principle of Lavud, and therefore it is in fact considered like there's a Hanach over here. And Tosus points out that this is even going according to the Rabbanan that argued Rabbi Akiva about Kluta Kemosha Unchadam. He said when you throw a ball in the Rishus Sarabim, so even if it doesn't land, so Rabbi Akiva says that Yechayiv, we view it, each stop as like a photo in place. And that as you're throwing the ball, we stop it, and it's considered like it's Kluta when it's throwing Kemosha Unchadam, as if it's on the ground. So even according to Rabbanan that argue with that, they only argue if it's above three tefachim. If it's below three tefachim, so we consider it because of the principle of love, like it's on the ground. So therefore, they're carrying it. The animal's a heavy animal, and it's getting very close to the ground, so it's like it's being dragged on the ground. And therefore, everybody agrees, this is a Hanacha. So Lav Dafka, that Rav Ami is wrong. Abba Bar Mamel's question from this Gemara in Zvachim is Lav Davka Akasha on Rav Ami. Now we get to the Mishnah that we alluded to early in the Shir, Evi Shiyotza Mitzvah. So if you have part of the Korban Pesach that went outside the walls of Yerushalayim, so therefore that part is Yotze, but we want to separate it from the rest of the Korban Pesach, which is still edible and good. So we said, you're not allowed to break the bone, so Chotech, you can go and cut the meat right at the point where it was, the part that went out and the part that stayed inside, you cut it right there, you go down to the bone, Chotech ad shemagia le'etzem, and then v'kolif ad shemagia le'perek, and then peel it back. The meat that was still inside, you peel it back until you get to the proximal joint, and at that point there's no bone there, so you can cut it, and at that point you cut it away, v'kolif ad shemagia le'perek, v'chotech, and that's perfectly acceptable. You now separate out the bone that was yotze, the half of the bone that was yotze, the rest of the bone comes along with it, because you're not allowed to break the bone, and the meat that was on the distal part that was yotze, that will all be burned, and the part that was kolef, that you peeled back, that was not yotze, that can be still eaten like a regular Korban Pesach. That's in regards to Korban Pesach. Obe Mukdashin, when you don't have a concern about etzem l'sish merubo by regular carbon, so there is no such concern. You just take some sort of an axe, kotzeitz bekupitz, you take a kupitz, which is like a big meat cleaver, a big axe, and you just chop it right through. You go right through the meat and the bone, shembo mishum shiriz etzem, because there's no issue of etzem l'sish merubo, so even the bone that hasn't been yotze is allowed to stay inside. You have no problem with breaking the bone and taking the part that was outside and burning it, and the part that is inside, you can eat. Nadigmor says, another din in terms of the definition of yotze. Where do we say that the point of yotze is? It's not an infinitesimal small spot. So exactly at what point is it considered yotze? So the Mishnah tells us, min ho'agaf v'lifnim kilifnim. The doorway itself, now the doorway itself is a thickness to it. So how do we view the doorway itself? So it says, from the point of the inner part of the doorway, so you go inside to that, that's considered, min ha'agaf v'lifnim is kilifnim. But it doesn't say what the status is of the agaf, the doorway itself. Now, min ha'agaf l'chutz kilchutz, from the point of the agaf outside, that's considered l'chutz. So you have this large doorway, where the door goes inside it is smaller than the entire doorway. So where the door closes, so the space of the door, where it's actually closed, that's what we're asking about in a moment in the Gemara. But right now we say when the door is closed, everything to the inside, even within the doorway, is considered inside. Everything beyond the door is considered outside. And we didn't yet define what is the status of the actual space where the door is. That's called the agaf. So we didn't define that. The Gemara is going to ask that in a moment. So that's when it comes to the doors. Hachalonos, if you're dealing with windows, again, there's a certain thickness to the window. What is the space of the thickness where the window is? Is that considered inside or outside? But over Yachoma, and the actual with the wall itself, the walls of Yerushalayim. When you're above the walls of Yerushalayim, so the thickness of the wall itself, we consider both the thickness of the windows and the thickness of the walls of Yerushalayim, kilifdin. We consider that inside Yerushalayim, not outside Yerushalayim. Mar starts off and says, Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav. Yehuda Amar Rav says the following, V'chein l'tfilah. The way Rashi understands this is that if you want to make a minyan, this is very, very important, halacha l'maisa, in terms of COVID, when people were davening outside, and they need to be in the same area in order to be establishing a minyan. You can't have people in one house and people in another house and say that the intervening space in between them is not a concern. So the way Rashi understands this Gemara is b'chein l'tfila, that the people davening all have to be, the 10 people have to be davening in the same place. It has to be in the same area. It can't be in two different areas. If it's in two different areas, then it's considered, again, like it's not all together. It's considered a separate area. Like we said in the Mishnah, min agaf l'fdim k'lefim, min agaf v'lachutz k'lachutz. So these are two separate areas. And therefore, if you were davening, the way Rashi understands it, you wouldn't be able to daven together. Tosfos has a different understanding. He says that this is talking about, can you answer to the davening? You have a minyan in one place, can the people on the other side answer? In any event, we'll learn simple like Rashi, that this is talking about that all the 10 people have to be in the same room. This has halacha l'maaseh ramifications, that when, for example, you're making a minyan in a house for an avel, so all the people should be in the same room. You shouldn't have some people in the living room, some people in the dining room, if there's a separation between them, because then you don't have the minyan all together in the same room, and you need to have the minyan all together in the same area. The Gemara says, however, that that's the opinion of Yehuda Marav, but Pliga, the Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi. This argues with what Yishuv ben Levi said. The Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi, afilu mechitz shabarzel eino mafsekes ben Yisrael la'avim shebashamayim. Rabbi Yishuv ben Levi says the famous statement that even the iron curtain, even the iron wall, it's always interesting that the old Soviet Union with the iron curtain, so even the iron curtain can't separate those Jewish people that were left behind the Soviet Union. They were able to eventually come out and go to Eretz Yisrael. Even an iron curtain can't separate Klal Yisrael from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And therefore, according to Rishu Levi, even if there is a separation between them, you would be allowed to go and daven from one place to the other. V'chein l'tfila, even if you didn't have all 10 together in the same room, you would still consider it a minyan if you had 10 people. Now, Ha'guf Akashi, Gemara says, the Mishnah itself is a little bit internally contradictory, because you're telling me, min agaf l'fnim, kilifnim, and then you're telling me the statement, v'agaf, min agaf l'chutz, k'lachutz. So I don't understand, which one is it? First, you tell me haguf akasha. Amis min ha'agaf lefnim kilefnim. Implication being ha'agaf atzmo kilechutz, because you only say inside is inside, implying that the actual place where the door is. So that would be considered when the door is open, like it's outside. But then you tell me ema seifa. Keep on reading. It says min ha'agaf lechutz kilechutz. So that implies only outside the agaf is considered the kilechutz. Implication being ha'agaf atzmo kilefnim. So it's mutually contradictory. The Reisha implies that the area of the agaf is outside, and the Seif implies that the area of the agaf is considered inside. So which one is it? So when it says lokash, it's not a problem. Depends what doors you're talking about. Different doors have different halachos. Kan bishari azara. When we're saying that it's considered like the inside, like the safer implication that it's only outside the agaf that is considered outside, but the agaf itself is considered like inside, that's when you're dealing with Shari Azara. But when you're dealing with Shari Yushalayim, which the Gemara will explain why in a second, so then we consider the area of the door itself, the agaf, to be considered like it's outside. And that was for a practical reason. The Amar Rabbi Shmuel by Rabbi Yitzchak. Rabbi Shmuel by Yitzchak said, and the reasoning is, why did the Shari Yushalayim, as opposed to the Shari Azara, it did have Kedusha to the agaf area. We do consider it like it's inside. So why didn't they make the same din by the Shari Yushalayim? So this was a chesed that Chazal did. A person who's a mitzorah is not allowed to enter into a walled city, so he can't go into Yushalayim. But it's hot outside, or it could be cold outside, or rainy outside. So they wanted to allow the Mitzrayim to get shelter underneath these huge gates, Shari Yushalayim. So if they considered the doorway to be like in Yushalayim, the Mitzrayim couldn't go underneath these doorways and get shelter from either the rain or from the sun. And therefore the rabbi said, we're not going to be Mekadesh, the Shari Yushalayim, Mimnesh Mitzrayim, Maginin Tachtein, to allow the Mitzrayim, who is not allowed to go into a walled city, to go in underneath the walls of the shahr, of the gate, this doorway of the gate, and be protected. B'chama b'nei achama, or b'gisham b'nei agishamim. In the summer, hot months from the sun, and in the winter, cold months from the rain and from the cold. Furthermore, Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak, another statement that Rabbi Shmuel bar Yitzchak said, b'pnei ma'alo nizkacho shar niknar. Now, we just said all the Shari Azara were, in fact, Mekadesh, the agaf. So why wasn't shar niknar? Shar niknar was the main entranceway into the Azara, the famous gates of Nikno, with the nace that happened, that he brought them from Mitzrayim, and the boat was going to sink, and he had to throw one of the gates overboard. He was very upset about it. The storm didn't abate, and they wanted him to throw the other gate overboard. He said, no, I'm not. And as it turned out, the gate floated along with the boat the whole way, and it was brought to Yerushalayim, and this nace occurred because of his love for wanting to build over here the Beis HaMikdash, to have the Shari Niknar. So the gates were named after him, and they were put into place. Even when the other gates were gold, they kept these gates because they were brought about by a nace. So in any event, Mipnei Ma'alo Niskacha Shari Niknar. So why didn't they make this gateway, this entranceway into the Azara, also Kedusha in the Agaf area? Based upon what we just said, it should have been perfectly Kadosh, the Agaf, as like inside. Why did they leave us outside? So for the same reason, Shmuel Yitzchak said the same reasoning. Because again, the Mitzorah, when he wants to get his Tahara process, so he has to stick in his right thumb, his right ear, his right big toe, and they have to do various oil and blood applications on the Mitzorah. So if he's going to stand in the entranceway to Shar Niknar, so if he's inside the Shar and it's Kadosh, he's also to go there. So therefore, they made the Shari Niknor underneath the Agaf area over there, they made it not to be Kadosh, to allow Mitzorayim, so they could put in the thumbs of their hand and the thumbs of their foot, the right thumb of the hand, the right thumb of the foot, as well as Tnuch Ozen Hayimonis, the right cartilage of the ear as well. So the same explanation for the Shari Yerushalayim, for the Mitzorayim, also applied to Shari Niknor. Then we said in the Mishnah, we said the windows, the area, the thickness where the window is, so that's considered as well like the inside, and also the Ovechoma, above the Choma of Yerushalayim, the thickness of the Choma, that's also considered like inside. It's not considered Yotze. Amar Rav, Rav says, however, Gagin, the rooftops, the Alios, and the attics of the houses in Yerushalayim, Lo Niskachu, they were not given Kedusha. As Rashi points out, only from the ground going up to the ceiling of the ground floor was given Kedusha of Yerushalayim, but the top floors were not given, and certainly the rooftops were not given Kedusha of Yerushalayim. Really? The Gemara says, Eni, is this so? From Rav, Mishum Rav Chiya. Rav said the name of his famous great uncle, Rav Chiya, Kizesa Pischa Valela Poka Igra, that the people used to go up to their rooftops, and they would have the Kizayis Pesach up there, and it would be so much hollow, it would, so to say, break the roofs. So this implies that they were up on the roofs. Now, if you're telling me that the roof is considered Yotze, it's considered outside Yerushalayim, how are they allowed to go and eat the Korban Pesach up on the roof? So we turn to Peivav Amud Aleph. Doesn't this mean, here's the finishing of the question, my love, the Ochle B'Igra, V'Yame B'Igra, that they ate the Korban Pesach, a Kizayis at least of the Korban Pesach, up on the roof, and that they sang Hallel up on the roof? That's how they broke the roof, so to say, from their joyous singing of the Hallel? No. Someone says, that's not what it means. Lo, the Ochle B'Yame, they ate inside the house, and then they went up on the roof. Afterwards, V'Yame B'Igra, they sang Hallel on the roof, but not because they ate the Korban Pesach there, and Hallel on the roof is not a problem. Again, the more questions is, Ine, is this really so? But none. But we learned in a Mishnah, this Mishnah we're going to learn also in Arvei Pesachim, where it says, you're not allowed to go and eat anything after the Korban Pesach. That is the last thing that you're supposed to have in your mouth. And on Rav said on that, Yom Rav, Sholyaku Mechabur Lechabura. And therefore, don't go from one group to another group, because you may come to eat in the other group more Korban Pesach. So therefore, how are they allowed to go up onto the rooftop and join another group up there, and all of them singing so loud, the hollow, that it, so to say, broke the roofs? You're not allowed to do that. Shmuel says, lo, that's not a problem. Lo kasha. Kan bishas achila. When we said that you're not allowed to go up, ein matir nachar pesach hevikomi, you can't separate yourself from your group, shol yakro b'chabur l'chabura, that's when you're still in the middle of eating the Korban Pesach, because then there is a concern that you're going to eat something else after the Korban Pesach, or you're going to eat some other group's Korban Pesach. But here, once they finish the Korban Pesach and they're going up to the roof to make a big Kiddush Hashem, all singing Hallel together. Imagine that scene where all of Yerushalayim is up on their rooftops, all singing Hallel together. What a Kiddush Hashem. What a beautiful scene. Yezus Hashem, this year in Pesach, in Eretz Yisrael, in Beis HaMikdash HaBenuya, Yezus Hashem Shemizoch to that. Therefore, that's not a problem. Kan Shalom B'Shas Achila, everybody can go up after they finish the Korban Pesach and go and eat everything that they want to up on top of the roof. Now, we're still in the middle of this discussion a little bit, but this is a good break point. Mitzvah Hashem will pick this up tomorrow. With this, we conclude today's shiur.